Open your Bibles, brothers and sisters, back to 1 Corinthians 13 as we continue our journey down love's pathway. We're on these 15 perfections of what love is. I'm praying that the Lord will do a deep and lasting love work in each of our hearts and in our church, as he has been doing already, that we would excel still more in love, as Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4. Number 6, look there at the text there in verse 5. Love is not rude. The NASB says it. Love doesn't act unbecomingly. That's all we're going to focus on now. And I'm glad we're not rushing on this. Oh, that the Lord would teach us much. In other words, love is not unformed or deformed. It doesn't behave in an inappropriate way. A way that's unloving or inconsiderate of the feelings of others, disregarding those around you. Love doesn't act improperly or behave gracelessly. If you want to know what rude and unbecoming behavior looks like, just read 1 Corinthians. You won't find a more impolite, graceless, unloving church in the Bible. Poor manners and rude conduct are not a part of love's repertoire, it's been said. To act in an impolite or a crude way is to be unloving and selfish. No, love cares enough to learn proper decorum and protocol in a given area or culture. I've learned so much from South Africans, at least I'm starting to learn, compared to American culture, I'm afraid, when it comes to etiquette and courtesy and politeness. Some cultures are far more superior, like in South Africa here. This is especially crucial in missions and cross-cultural evangelism and church planting. Remember Hudson Taylor's conviction to dress like the Chinese and adopt their customs. He once wrote of his missionary team there, "In nothing do we fail more as a mission than in the lack of tact and politeness." You see, the Great Commission can hinge upon our manners. In times past, the Judeo-Christian ethic had greater influence in Western culture and was the cause of much courtesy and chivalry. When the Titanic was going down, the motto was women and children first. And most of those who died were men who knew how to be gentlemen. Today, numerous incidents in recent history of sinking ships or ferries, and like a cruise ship in Italy not long ago, and it's every man for himself. Women and children and the elderly are the least likely to survive. How times have changed, sadly. But Scripture shows us a more excellent way. Love does not act unbecomingly. Manners have fallen on hard times, but the gospel transforms our manners. The gospel teaches us the golden rule of Scripture: love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what does neighbor love look like? You got to ask your neighbor. It's going to vary culture to culture. We have to be lifelong learners in the school of love. At the core, etiquette is thinking of how my actions impact those around me. Treating others the way I would want to be treated, from friendly greetings to physical affection to table manners to polite conversation and eye contact and facial gestures and listening skills and dress code and behavior in public and physical affection and the way I park my car, the way I drive it, the titles I use, addressing superiors, sending apologies if I can't make it, punctuality, posture, turning off my cell phone, keeping my word, expressing thanks, treatment of a store clerk or a restaurant waiter or waitress or car guard. Listen to granddaddy's house rules from one opa for family occasions together. Rule number 9, for example, persons under the age of 4 will be allowed to bang their dishes with their silverware, provided this is done moderately and from the impatience of hunger, not for the mere delight in the noise. Rule 12, persons between the age of 13 and 19 will not reply, nothing, when asked what they've been doing. They will come prepared to give some account of themselves. Persons below and above that age bracket will confine themselves to a brief and temperate enumeration of their accomplishments. Rule 13, nobody save granddaddy may complain of the behavior of another, whether the reference be to the immediate present days or to the events of past years. Rule number 19, at Christmas time, those up to the age of 16 who receive a mere item of clothing as a gift will put their bravest face upon the disaster. We laugh, but we get Grandpa's agenda, don't we? He loved his kids and grandkids enough to train them to love others also and not be rude. not be impolite or act unbecomingly. This is the more excellent way. I'll close with an illustration on the power of love, not only in our home and our church, but also in our witness and our evangelism. One of you sent me this moving conversion story of now some more well-known lesbian professor in the States who came to Christ. She had thought most Christians were rude and unthinking, and she wrote an article against Christianity in the local newspaper, and it generated lots of responses, and so much so that she printed them out and it created two separate boxes, one for the hate mail, one for the fan mail. But when she received one response to her anti-Christian article, she wasn't sure what category put it in. It was from a local pastor in the area. This is Rosaria Butterfield. And she says this: "It was a kind and inquiring letter. Ken Smith encouraged me to explore the kind of questions I admire. How do you arrive at your interpretations? How do you know you are right? Do you believe in God? Ken, he didn't argue with my article. Rather, he asked me to defend the presuppositions that undergirded it. I didn't know how to respond, so I threw it away. Later that night, I fished it out of the recycling bin and put it back on my desk, where it stared at me for a week. With the letter, Ken initiated 2 years of bringing the church to me, a heathen. Oh, I had seen my share of Bible verses on placards at gay pride marches, that Christians who mocked me on Gay Pride Day were happy that I and everyone I loved were going to hell. It seemed as clear as a blue sky. That's not what Ken did. This pastor didn't mock, he engaged. So she says, when his letter invited me to get together for dinner, I accepted. My motives at the time were straightforward. Surely this would be good for my research. Something else happened. Ken and his wife, Floy, and I became friends. They entered my world. They met my friends. We did book exchanges. We talked openly about sexuality and politics. They didn't act as if such conversations were polluting them. They didn't treat me like a blank slate. When we ate together, Ken prayed in a way I had never heard before. His prayers were intimate, vulnerable. He repented of his sin in front of me. He thanked God for all things. Ken's God was holy and firm, yet full of mercy." She says, "I continued reading my Bible, all the while fighting the idea that it was inspired. But the Bible got to be bigger inside me than I. It overflowed into my world. I fought against it with all my might. And then one Sunday morning, I rose from the bed of my lesbian lover. And an hour later, I was sitting in a pew at the Syracuse Reformed Presbyterian Church, conspicuous with my butch haircut. I reminded myself I came to meet God, not to fit in." And then she describes how Scripture convicted and confronted her sexual immorality. And then she concludes, "One ordinary day, I came to Jesus open-handed and naked. In this war of worldviews, Ken was there. His wife, Floyd, was there. The church that had been praying for me for years was there. And Jesus triumphed. And I was a broken mess. Conversion was a train wreck. I did not want to lose everything that I loved, but the voice of God sang a sanguine love song in the rubble of my world. I weakly believed that if Jesus could conquer death, he could make right my world. I drank, tentatively at first and then passionately, of the solace, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I rested in private peace and then community. And today, in the shelter of a covenant family, where one calls me wife," she got married to a godly man, "and many call me mother. They've adopted a number of children, all because of one patient, kind, humble, polite Christian witness. This is the more excellent way, the way of love."